Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised. Getting all hydrated. This is episode 95. That we've been doing this for a while now.
Weird.
I know. Let's say this too. We love that you guys listen. Like, that's awesome of you.
It's still the weirdest thing.
Yeah, but like when you tell us you listen, we're like,
don't look at me. Don't look at me.
So yeah, so thank you. People from all over listen, and I don't get it, but I love that you do. So thanks for that.
What are you into right now?
So since you asked, when I was in high school, I read all of the Scarpetta books by Patricia Cornwell.
Okay.
I read all of them. I loved them all. And I probably fell off in 2020, like right after the pandemic.
Yeah.
Really, like life got busy, quit reading. Hey, you've been there with me.
So yeah,
you know, life got crazy. Yeah. The show came out on Amazon Prime, and it's a mixture of the last book and the first book. I've not read the last book, but I read the first book years and years ago. I don't have any of my books anymore, though. And we watched the show on Amazon Prime. I don't really like Nicole Kidman as Scarpetta.
Okay.
But I like the show. Jamie Lee Curtis as her sister is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
So after I did that, and I've become a heavy audiobook user here lately.
I love a good audiobook. I also love a good horror anthology podcast.
I love that. On Audible, you can, on some books, click open in Kindle, and it will open it so you can go back and forth between reading and listening. So I have restarted listening to the Scarpetta series.
Okay. So you're rereading / listening.
There's 25 of them, so I don't know how far I'll make it. It was kind of like my entrance into true crime. So that's what I've been doing, is a redoing Patricia Cornwell.
Cool.
What have you been doing? What have you been into?
Anime.
I love that for you. Alexis likes anime. You guys can bond over that.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit. I think we watch different kinds of anime, though.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, what is your flavor, your brand? Are you like a Pokemon?
I like to hit the nostalgic highlights. I like the Pokemans, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Super.
That's one thing I love about people our age not being in charge of companies is our nostalgia is what's cool again.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm absolutely...
Oh, yeah. Sailor Moon's like having a big comeback right now.
I'm like, I'm living for it.
But yeah. As far as like new animes to watch, I am very into like fantasy, like Dungeonscape kind of stuff. Castlevania, also very into all iterations of that.
I love that.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I've been watching Frieren, Beyond Journey's End.
Okay.
She's the little elf that I have on my station.
Oh, I saw her. I saw her pop up here recently. So I was loving that for you. I love that.
She's very cutie.
Yeah. I mean,
throw the iPad.
Life is good. I know we don't have little chats like this often, but people don't realize that we sit down and record. It gets heavy sometimes.
So, and every now and then we need a little chatty chat.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, just fast forward.
Yeah, I'll put how long it is in here. But at the same time, I mean, maybe we're giving you suggestions on things you like. Maybe you're like, wow, I didn't know those things existed. Now you're going to look them up. And we just shared something with you.
New.
Now, trigger warning, let's get serious.
Let's get for real.
Get for real, get our sillies out.
Trigger warning, this episode contains graphic crime.
Who are we covering today?
Today, we are going to cover Mr. Reverend George Owen.
Okay.
On July 22nd of 1985, 79-year-old George does not show up to pick his wife, Eileen, up from the bus station. She had just made a trip to visit some family in Ohio. She's coming back to the Nashville bus station, and she expected George there at 6 a.m. to pick her up.
Okay.
His wife waits for like about an hour and then ends up calling George's brother, his name's Alfred, for a ride home. So when the wife, Eileen, and Alfred arrive at the Owens home, George is not there. His 1972 Dodge Dart that, by the way, he loves and keeps in like pristine condition is not there. And the table is set with two places, like he anticipated breakfast.
Oh, okay.
But the dog seems like it was probably unfed. Because it's like starving. And Eileen also noted that George's favorite hat that he had just gotten for, I think it was like a birthday or Christmas or something, that was like within the same year, was still at the house. And he wore it any time that he went out. And then also an older black suit that he used to kind of wear around the house or like for little errands or whatever was also missing out of the closet. But nothing else is really amiss. So they decide to officially report George missing. And a local TV station runs a bulletin on George's disappearance.
That would be a silver alert now.
Yeah. Exactly. And some reports of sightings of George do come in.
Okay.
There, we have a kind of a timeline. So George is at a gas station in Santa Fe, Tennessee, having a flat tire repaired. At this point, he is 80 miles in the wrong direction from Nashville.
I immediately, dementia was my immediate first thought. That's what I'm thinking.
He's having, maybe he had a stroke. Maybe he had... You know, was having some cognitive, emergency.
Because with the dog not being fed, but everything else seeming to be normal.
Yeah.
That is a big cognitively something has gotten messed up in the routine.
Yeah,
there.
Something. And obviously, like, Kim and Eileen have been married for 60 years. If she thought anything was going on, she probably wouldn't have taken that trip.
Right.
Or she would have had Alfred come check on him.
So did he have a stroke while she was gone? Did he fall into his head while she was gone? Did something? Anyway.
So George, like we said, is 80 miles in the wrong direction from Nashville. And he's asking for directions to Nolensville, which is where he started from. That's where his house is.
Oh, okay.
And there's a miscommunication with the gas station attendant, and he's ended up with directions to Lubbleville. George, after he gets his flat fixed, he does make his way to Lubbleville. George is then spotted at a gas station in Lubbleville, where the attendant says that George came in, and he asked, he walks with a cane, by the way. George came in with his cane. He asked if they had ice cream. She said, yes. He said, would you mind getting it for me? And she did. And he seemed a little bit disoriented.
Yeah.
And he went out with the ice cream. And then he came back in and he asked if they had cigars. And he bought some, as well as she gave him a pack of matches with him. George had quit smoking several years earlier.
Yeah.
And he mentioned to the gas station attendant that he couldn't find his wife. And he seemed like he got pretty upset, agitated because he couldn't find his wife. And so she calls a local clinic to see, have you ever heard of Eileen? Have you ever heard of George? No record of either one. And George ends up just kind of like turning around and leaving.
Yeah.
After that, after she's, I'm sorry, they don't know.
Yeah, they don't know your wife. What you're talking about.
He just leaves. And that attendant says that she really wishes that she had called somebody else.
Yeah.
But in 1985, who were you going to call the police?
I mean, and 911 hadn't actually been around that long at that point. A lot of people don't realize that either.
No.
911's not always been a thing. And that's actually been an issue in a lot of cases is they've called to the wrong departments. And back then, they couldn't just transfer you or anything like that. And
I hate that for her, though.
But it sounds like his communication, that's how he even ended up in this town. Yeah. His communication is off.
Yeah.
Something's off.
Yeah. Several days later, I think it's like, it's been quoted as 5 or 6 days later, George's car is found on a remote hilltop in Perry County, Tennessee. He is now 100 plus miles from home. And 12 miles from the gas station in Lovellville.
Yeah, he's just lost at this point.
Yeah.
And there was no smartphones back then. Mm-hmm. You had a map in your car. And
so the keys are in the ignition. The windows are down. Now, mind you, this is a man who is meticulous about his car. Why are the windows open so anything could get in his car?
Right.
Keys are in the ignition. Windows are open. The battery is dead. So my guess is he's listening to the radio or something.
Yeah, just sitting there.
There's a box of matches on the dashboard. And George's suit jacket is in the back seat laying over a small pile of sticks. Now, there are also small pile of sticks all around the car in several spots. This is something that George was known to do in his own yard. Just go around and pick up sticks and pile them in small piles to clean up the yard.
Okay.
I mean, we've all seen our dads do this.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like he was just kind of deserted there and was, like, bored.
Yes. Witnesses reported seeing the Dodge Dart head up the dirt road, followed by a pickup truck. And the pickup truck is the only one that came back down the road.
Yikes.
Now, I would like to point out something. This is the backwoods, back roads, middle Tennessee to East Tennessee-ish area in 1985.
Right.
George is a black man.
Oh.
A 79-year-old, cognitively impaired at this point, black man.
Oh, no. Yeah, that really changes things.
And that makes me very scared for what could have possibly happened to George.
Yeah.
Also, his cane is found at the car. So how far could he have gotten without his cane?
Him. Oh, wow.
So I thoroughly believe, I don't know how long the pickup truck was up there, but I think George was probably in that pickup truck when it came back down the mountain.
Yeah. Yeah.
But nobody has seen George since.
Yeah.
Now, his wife, Eileen, died a couple years after he went missing. But no remains for George have ever been found. No nursing home or anything has ever said, hey, we have this unclaimed body that it matches this description. You know what I mean? No hospital, nothing.
And I was going through our closet up here the other day, and I found my file of all, my grandfather was an ATF agent, so don't let this sound weird, but of all the KKK news articles there, and they're all from around the 80s, and I think that's kind of like a piece of Tennessee history people don't want to talk about, but the Klan was very prevalent here.
Yeah.
In the 80s, honestly, even in the 90s, too. That was a thing. And so that would really make me worried as to what happened to him.
I know his wife has passed, but I think his family, his brother's family, they deserve answers for what happened to George.
Yeah. Once again, what is it? 1-800-TBI-FINE?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That sucks, though. I don't have high hopes for what could have happened, but I do agree he was probably in that pickup truck.
Yes. Looks like the sweetest little old man.
I'm sure. People are evil. People are bad. And people suck.
Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.